that, then let's go back to 2 Corinthians 12. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And then if you will notice, we last time we were together, we spent most of our time in verses 8 through 10, and that's where we're going to pick up again today. 2 Corinthians 12, 8. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your word and to be edified thereby and to learn again and be reminded again that the great secret of spiritual empowerment is personal weakness and confidence in your word. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as I think I mentioned last Wednesday when we got to this passage, these three verses here, 8, 9, and 10, really gets to the heart of what 2 Corinthians is all about. And of course, when I say 2 Corinthians, I don't mean to leave out the other books of the Apostle Paul, but these verses here really get to the heart of the whole issue of spiritual empowerment. Spiritual empowerment. Let me first contrast something here. There is a great talk, there's a great deal of preaching on power in the Christian community today. And of course, when they talk about power and they talk about Holy Ghost power and they talk about spiritual power and that type of thing, if you look over with me to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, most of the talk about spiritual power that you hear today revolves around the idea of signs, miracles, wonders, healing, things like that. If you'll look at look over to Ephesians 1:19. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe?" Let me share with you a testimony. This was a number of years ago. This is in fact when our two older boys were young. Not that they're old, by the way, but they were younger. Okay, they were probably 10 or 12 years old. So that's a number of years ago. Anyway, we were at a store, I think like a Kmart or something like that, and there was a food court, and so we decided we were going to go get something to eat. And on the table next to us, there was this older gentleman with a cane and a pair of glasses and a Bible. And of course, you know, being kind of curious, I went and sat down at the table right next to him, and so we were eating our lunch, and I couldn't help but strike up a conversation with the guy and said, "Hey, I noticed you got a Bible there. What are you reading?" And anyway, long story short, it turns out that this guy professed to be a health, wealth, prosperity type power preacher, and that he was traveling the country. He was living by faith, quote unquote, and God was supplying his need, and he was just living in power, and he was looking for the next big ministry he was going to do, of course, you know. And so we got to talking about this issue of power and signs and healings and wonders. And of course, this is one of the verses that he went to. He said that God wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power to us, for, and that's the power to heal and the power to move mountains and the power to do signs and the power, you know, and all this kind of nonsense, you know. I was kind and courteous, and I wasn't smart aleck, you know, like I am sometimes now. But anyway, here this guy is with a pair of glasses, so his eyes don't work right, and he's got a cane, so his legs and his hip don't work right. And you know, and I didn't say anything to him. I probably should have, but I decided to bite my tongue in the sense I wasn't going to be. I mean, I was a young guy, and he was an older guy, and had to respect my elders, right, and everything. But in my mind, I'm thinking, dude, are you kidding me? Here you are, you have a pair of glasses so your eyes don't work. You're walking around with a cane so your hips and your joints and your knees and your ankles don't work. And you're telling me that you want me to believe that you're saying that you're preaching that this health, wealth, prosperity, healing gospel and everything. Well, you know, and I've thought about that often because I probably should have said something, just to be as direct as possible to that guy and say, dude, don't preach that lie to me if you're walking around with a cane. You know? Don't you go out and lie about what God's doing and so forth. I do tend to be a little bit more direct that way nowadays, okay? So, but I don't want to be unkind. Okay, anyway, the point is this. That when you talk about spiritual empowerment, without question, the vast majority of the preaching in the Christian community, and friends, we are part of the Christian community. I mean, that's what we're a part of, right? I mean, I am a believer. I'm a Bible-believing Christian and so forth. So are you. And when we talk about the preaching about power in the Christian community, the fact is that the vast majority of the preaching about power is in relationship to and has to do with the claim of, you know, health, wealth, and prosperity, that God gives you the power to heal, the power to move mountains, the power to cast out the devils, the power to cast out, you know, all this kind of stuff. And unfortunately, that's not what God's doing today. Now, having said that, God is interested in making his power known today. He absolutely is interested in that. But it's not the power to part the Red Sea. That's not the power that he's interested in making known today. That, as far as he's concerned, that's a done deal. It's settled. Been there, done that. It's not even on the table today as far as he is concerned. As far as the power to walk on water, been there, done that. That is, Christ has been there, done that. It's already established, it's settled, it's done, record's there. God is not what he's, that's not what he's manifesting today. The power to go around and cleanse the leper and raise the dead. It's interesting that when people talk about healing and so forth, you don't hear too many people going out to all these leper colonies and healing all these lepers with the touch. Did you know that? You don't have people going to these hospitals that are these children's hospitals with all these children that are dying with cancer. You don't have these healing preachers going to those hospitals and healing these poor children of their cancer. Oh, sure, you can hear all the stories in church and so forth, and you know, the stuff that happened in Africa or the stuff that happened. Why are these guys that are preaching this stuff, why do they go to a place of real need? The innocency of youth. You know, these young kids that are dying of cancer, go to these children's hospitals and just go bed to bed to bed and heal those people. You know, put those doctors out of a job, you know, and get those kids up out of the bed and living a nice, fun life where they can ride a bicycle and throw a baseball and catch a football and go swimming and ride a skateboard. And instead, those children are sitting there in those beds and dying of cancer. You people that preach the health, wealth, prosperity stuff, that's where you ought to go. But even at that, friends, that isn't what God's doing today. But God is interested in making his power known today. But it's not the power of parting the Red Sea. It's not the power of delivering Israel out of Pharaoh's hand in Egypt. It's not the power of Elijah, you know, raising the dead. It's not the power of feeding the 5,000 with a few loaves and some fish. It's not the power of cleansing the leper. But it is power nonetheless. It's just it's a different aspect of his power. If you will turn over with me to 1 Timothy. Look over to 1 Timothy 1 and start with me at verse 15. He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now watch verse 16. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all," now there it is, the word, "long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now, we kind of have a standing rule in our church out here that when you read that word long-suffering, you don't want to read it the way that most of us would prefer to read it. Most of us would prefer to read it long-suffering and then move on, right? That's not how to read that church. You have to read it long-suffering. That's the real sense of that word. You suffer over a long period of time. And friends, it takes power to do that. What Paul reveals in that verse is that Jesus Christ is showing forth something today. He is manifesting forth His power. His power, not to part the Red Sea, not to walk on the water, not to cleanse the lepers, not to raise the dead. But it is power nonetheless. It's the power, it's His capacity and ability to suffer for a long time. And that power, that ability, that long suffering is being manifested in the Apostle Paul, pattern of the ability of the doctrine to work. That verse says, for a pattern of what? A pattern of long suffering. Christ in Paul, working in Paul and through Paul, manifesting forth the power to suffer over a long period of time. Friends, that takes power to do that. So when we talk about spiritual power, when we talk about empowerment, that's the kind of power we're talking about today. Let me have you look at another passage of Scripture, if you would. Go to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Now watch this one, verse 9. Colossians 1:9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now here comes the power. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Now here it comes. Here's what it's going to look like. Unto all, notice, patience. And there's that word again. Long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks. Friends, that's spiritual empowerment right there. That's the power that God is interested in manifesting today. That's the empowerment that Christ wants to put on display in the believer. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto patience. You know, that's Romans 5. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. It says, unto all patience. Patience is the capacity and ability to endure under intense pressure for a long period of time and not to abandon the faith. Long-suffering. Unto all patience and long-suffering. The capacity and ability to suffer over a long period of time. And notice, with joyfulness. Now, there's some power there. The old saying is that, oh, we might be willing to suffer all right, but we're going to complain and whine the whole way. Or the thing about patience, Lord, I'm praying for patience and I want it right now. You know, all the standard jokes that people say. But when that verse says, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, now that's some power. That it takes real power in the inner man. That is, recognizing that when we are weak in ourselves, then that's when God is strong in us. And that being the case, we can express the joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. We can express true joy in an awareness of the fact that we belong to Christ and Christ belongs to us. And then verse 12 says, giving thanks. See that? So in the midst of having to learn patience, which means you're going through tribulation, in the midst of having to suffer through that for a long time, we recognize that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So we have joy in knowing that, listen, there's an eternal benefit to this. The outer man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Our light afflictions work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So there's a joy and rejoicing in Christ as our life, Christ as our resource, and there's a giving of thanks. There's a thankful attitude that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Giving thanks that we're privileged to be laborers together with God. We're able to participate with Him and work with Him in what He's doing in proclamation of the gospel of the grace of God, in seeking the lost to get saved and the saved to be edified. What a great privilege that is. And you can see that clearly this is empowerment. This is the power that God is making known today. Now, if you go back with me to Corinthians there, 2 Corinthians, go back to 2 Corinthians at chapter 12, 8 through 10. These verses here really drive to the heart. They are the heart. They are the, as it were, the engine of true spiritual empowerment in the life of the believer. These verses explain to us how it is that we can, in the midst of tribulation, learn patience, experience that long suffering, and can still express joy and thanksgiving. And look how it is here. Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." So Paul's thinking there is that, Lord, if you'll take this thing away, then I'll really be able to serve you. That's kind of what his thinking was. And he prays thrice, he says, like the Lord prayed thrice in the garden. And then here comes God's answer. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." It's like he's taking Paul aside and saying, "Paul, wait, listen to me, Paul." He said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee." He said, "Paul, the doctrine does work. The message I'm giving to you, it works. But Paul, you got to trust it. You'll never find out if the doctrine works until you find out if the doctrine works. You'll never know whether or not my grace really is sufficient in the details of life until you find out whether my grace is sufficient in the details of life. You'll never know, illustration, you'll never know whether that boat will float until you get in it and take it out in the water. Now, I'm telling you, it will float. Not going to sink. But you won't know that it'll float. It'll carry you. It'll take you across the lake. You won't know it. I'm telling you, it will. But you won't know it experientially until you get in the boat and take it across the water. Take it out and go fishing. Try it out. And then come on back. He says, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For the reason it's sufficient is this, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Perfect there is not in the sense that God is impotent. I mean, God's not impotent. God is, is all powerful. He's omnipotent, right? He's not impotent. It's not that he loses his power if you and I don't believe him. He's powerful anyway. His grace is sufficient whether or not we believe it. But the only way that you and I will know it, and the way it becomes perfect in us, is when we're willing to trust that it is so, to depend upon it, to let it be so, and to rest in the fact that it is so. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's my weakness. We've said before, and not because it's original with me by any means, but the key to spiritual empowerment, the key to spiritual strength, is personal weakness. Well, what do we mean by that? The key to allowing the power of grace, the power of the written word of God, to be manifest in and through and out of us, i.e. God's strength, is to abandon self-confidence. Boy, now doesn't that go against the whole movement of, you know, promote your self-esteem? The key to spiritual empowerment, the key to finding the power in the Word of God being released in your inner man and out of you, is don't depend on yourself. Instead, depend on the Word of God. We don't want to have self-based confidence. We want to have Calvary-based confidence. We don't want to have self-accomplishment confidence. Make our little list of trophies and things that we accomplished and say, wow, see what a good guy I am. Rather, we want to have Christ-based confidence. Make the list of all that He has accomplished. Make that list of all how God looks at what He has done. Add to that list of all that God says He has made you to be in Christ. And then let's live in that and with that confidence. See, that's not self-based confidence. Forget that nonsense. Rather, have it be Calvary-based, Christ-based, saint-based, identity-based confidence. Who are you in Christ? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. The more that I, in my walk as a believer, the more that we in our walk as believers, day by day, little by little, learn to quit trusting in ourselves and instead to trust the Word of God in our life as believers, I'm talking about, then that is how, day by day, little more, little more, little more each time, that the power of the Word of God is able to work in us and manifest itself through us and out of us. I was talking with a gentleman, a young man from our church. He came over last night. We had a great time in the Word of God together. And he's only been saved about a year, he said, and really just recently introduced to the Word of God, rightly divided, probably over about the last 3 to 4 months, and very, very hungry, very interested. He's talking to a lot of his quote-unquote Christian friends, and of course he's getting blasted since he's kind of talking about right division, and he's pretty excited about this stuff, but he just doesn't have enough under his belt yet in terms of the edification process. So, but he keeps at it, man. He keeps at it. It's really something. Anyway, so we were talking about, and again, he's only been saved for about a year and only into the right division just a few months and everything. So we got to talking about some things in Romans 6. Dead to sin, alive unto God. And he was asking some questions about that. So he's, you know, how do I deal with this whole sin issue? And how do I gain the victory over, you know, my past life and so forth? Those kind of things. When I say past life, I mean before he was saved, okay? Well, the standard answer to those things in Christianity is, you know, you got to confess your sins, and you know, you got to just watch every aspect of your life so you don't sin in thought, word, or deed. And the standard answer, the problem with it is it has you focusing on sin instead of focusing on your identity in Christ. So we talked about that. We said that, listen, victory over sin doesn't come by focusing on sin or by trying to get victory over sin. It doesn't work that way. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Victory over sin comes as a result of focusing on who God says He has made you to be in Christ, rejoicing in that, learning about that, finding out about all that. What happens is that your thinking process shifts. Rather than thinking, oh, I better not do this sin, I better not do that sin, oh, I want to be holy, oh, I want to be sanctified, oh, I, rather than thinking about, oh, I, all of a sudden we're thinking about, look how wonderful Christ is. Look what God has done. Look at God's grace, His mercy, His kindness, His love. It shifts your thinking. Well, this passage manifests that. See, where was Paul's thinking in verse 8? And I'm not chiding him. That's not why I'm saying, when I say where was Paul's thinking, I'm not getting mad at Paul here. He's thinking like we think. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. See, he's thinking about his circumstance. And he's thinking in terms of, hey, if this thing will depart from me, then I can finally get back on track and serve Jesus, kind of a thing, right? So he thinks like we think. Now here comes God's answer. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I was trying to convey to this young man, listen, it's okay to be weak. Because when we are weak, as long as we will turn to the right source of power, then we'll have victory over the sin. The right source of power is that resident power, internal resident, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of His Holy Spirit and the written Word of God. When I'm weak, don't have confidence in my ability to say no to sin. Rather, look to the Word of God and let the power manifested at the cross when God said no to sin. Let that be the empowerment in our lives. See, God did say something about sin at the cross, right? That's right. Jesus Christ said something about sin at the cross, right? Scripture says He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He was made sin to be. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When Christ was made sin, He died. That's what God says about sin. So we don't want to worry so much about what we say about sin. Let's think about what God says about sin. And then in the light of that, in the light of the victory at the cross, we can say, you know what? I don't need to do that anymore. I don't need to go down that path anymore. Rather, here's my identity in Christ. And it really is, in a sense, it's a surrender in a sense. Well, it is. I mean, it's you, the old man, you're saying, hey, I'm not your slave anymore. I'm not in bondage to you anymore, that old sin nature. I'm not chained to you anymore. Rather, I'm bound to Christ with chains of love and grace. I'm bound to God in the love of Christ. And that binds my heart. So sin, I don't have to serve you anymore. I can be weak in myself. I'm not going to trust my capacity to say no to sin. Rather, I'm going to allow the love of God. I'm going to allow my identity in Christ. I'm going to allow this new freedom, this new liberty, the liberty that I have to say no to sin and yes to God. I'm going to allow that to be the basis of my decision. Listen, these verses right here, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, these verses get to the heart of. These verses are the engine, the operating principle of how it is that when we are weak, that God is strong, that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Now, when Paul gets that answer from God here, it completely revolutionizes his thinking forever. and it does it in an instant of time. He goes from verse 8 asking the Lord to take this thing away three times. He hears the answer, verse 9, and then in the middle of verse 9 he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Friends, that's a change of mind right there. And it's not just a simple, friends, that's a radical change of mind from verse 8 to verse 9. That's an absolute radical change in Paul's thinking. That's what the simple awareness and appreciation of and belief in "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," that's what that will do. If we will believe that, it will completely and forever change our mind when we're facing afflictions, infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, that is, distresses for Christ's sake. It'll change our mind about it. Instead of asking the Lord to take it away, well, and you know, let's follow Paul here. Let's do ask the Lord to take these away, but ask Him three times. And then let's be content with, let's learn the answer here. Let's allow God's answer to change our mind, to change our thinking process forever, like it changed Paul's here. He says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." That the power of Christ may rest upon you. See, if we want real power today, real spiritual empowerment, it isn't going to be the issue of healing. It isn't going to be the issue of parting the Red Sea. Rather, it's going to be in the midst of infirmities, the capacity to endure, to suffer for a long time with joyfulness, giving thanks. He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And you know, that's the option here. That's the choice that we have. Either the power of Christ resting upon me, or my own power. Now you know how foolish that is, right? We can't even lift 100 pounds, you know. We were interesting illustration here. When we were driving up to the conference here at Portland, the gentleman that was driving up, his name is David, and he gets down to the coast quite a bit. Anyway, we were passing this place where they were building this new breakwater, okay, this big gigantic jetty, and they were doing it with these gigantic rocks. I mean, these big massive gigantic rocks. And he said he was out there actually watching them one time and talking to the construction crew out there. And they have to ship in these big, massive rocks. These things were so big, they only could put one of these rocks on a big flatbed truck and carry it out. And they ship it in out from other parts of the state and everything. They ship it out along the coast there. But these big, massive, gigantic rocks. And what they did is that they would take these off the truck. They had these big cranes out there. And then the crane would take and lift this rock up and then get ready to set it in place. And he said you could see the whole back end, the back side of the crane, start to teeter up when it would lift these rocks. That's how heavy these rocks. These are just massive, massive, gigantic rocks. They can only put one at a time on the truck. And we were commenting that even as massive and as big as those rocks are, and that's just one rock, we were commenting that a number of years ago, Mount St. Helens, it blew its top. Remember when it exploded and so forth? And the sheer power and strength of the energy that was released when that volcano blew all the tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of dirt and rock and trees and water that was moved, even as compared to those massive rocks that were being moved to form this jetty. In one big blast, it moved millions and millions and millions of tons of weight of rocks and debris and dirt. And that was just one little bitty, relatively speaking, one little teeny tiny volcano on the face of the planet, one little speck on the planet. And boy, you talk about humbling us to realize that, wow, in and of ourselves, you and I can barely even lift one rock that might be 50 pounds, 100 pounds maybe. That is nothing, friends. How is it then that we think we can live this Christian life in our own strength? How is it that we think we can save ourselves when we were without strength? How is it that we think now that as believers that we don't need Christ? Listen, we need Him more and more every day, and we have Him. We need His word more and more every day, and we have it. We never want to get to the place in our life as believers where we feel like we've arrived and don't need His word or don't need Him anymore. Friends, that'd be utter foolishness. Rather, as we live life, as we spend time in His word, one thing that we've become aware of that's a good thing is even though I already have Christ and He is my resource and He is my life and I am complete in Him and we're accepted in Him, I still need Him more than ever before. I still need His word more than ever before. And it is a great privilege to know that, friends. It is a blessing to know that. It's an acknowledgement that when we are weak, then He is strong. That's what that verse says here. It says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And notice what the power is. "Therefore, I take pleasure..." He doesn't say, "I take pleasure in healing." Rather, "therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." The key to spiritual empowerment in the life of the believer is a recognition of our complete utter weakness and our utter need of Christ and His word every moment, every day. Abandoning self-confidence, abandoning trusting in self, and learning day by day, little by little, more by more, more and more, simply to take Him at His word. To trust Him in His word. In the midst of infirmities, in the midst of reproaches, in the midst of necessities, in the midst of persecutions, in the midst of distresses. Notice He didn't say one time they're healing. Friends, forget that. That's not what God's doing today. His power is being made known in the midst of affliction. "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now we're out of time for this morning's lesson, and we always like to open this up for Q&A, at least for a few minutes. If you have a question, then you'll need to click on that raise hand icon. It'll put hand up next to your name, and then we will give you the microphone. If you do not have a microphone, that's okay. You can still ask your question by typing your question in the screen there. It's just to make sure that we know you have a question coming. And the way to do that is just raise a hand next to your name there. Also, remember that we will be back next live for our next live session, which will be this evening at 7:30. We're going to continue in our study of the Gospel of Matthew. I say continue. We've been doing just a lot of groundwork, so we haven't actually so much got into it yet. But that's where we're going, okay? Trophimus, how are you doing today? Let me release the microphone and go ahead with your comment or your question. Here you go.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, in regard to this, what you've been speaking on, John, would imply then also in our prayer life as believers today that it would be wrong to pray for God to intercede especially when a loved one's, like you say, have going through difficult times with disease or so forth. For as this passage points out, it's in that weakness, and it would be proper to pray for our loved one that they may be strengthened by his word in the inner man, I would think, instead of trying to pray for God to direct the hands of the surgeon or so forth, you know, as so many do today. Just interesting on your comments. Thank you.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Trophimus, that how we pray not only for ourselves, but for our loved one in the time of that affliction is huge. It's vitally important, because we want to, not only do we want to be strengthened, but we want them to be strengthened. And our prayer life, especially if they hear us pray, if we're sitting right there with them and praying for them, they should be hearing us pray for the strengthening of their inner man. That helps focus even their thinking. When you get the word from the doctor that you've got some disease or some, well, cancer, for example, friends, it's terrifying to most people, to their flesh. And that's just a fact. It just is. We all know that we're going to die, right? Unless the rapture happens, of course. But and as believers, you know you're going to go be with Christ. But all of a sudden, when that doctor gives you that word, that statement, it's like all of a sudden this window. Now, you don't know when you're going to die, but now you have the shortened time frame. And so for people, it's no, the flesh is terrified. But the inner man isn't terrified. The inner man is stabilized. The inner man is renewed. So when you have a loved one that's going through something like that, you're exactly right that it's ever more important at a time like that to really direct their thinking. So when you're praying for them, to direct their thinking to the strengthening of the inner man and so forth. So Trophimus, appreciate that comment. You're exactly right there. All right. Well, I don't see any other hands up at this point. We certainly want to extend a thanks to each and every one of you for joining us today. We always appreciate you doing so. And we will be back on this evening at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. We sure hope you can join us as we do so. And then remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Thanks for being with us. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you this evening. Bye-bye now.